As I mentioned earlier, November the 1st is a special day in the liturgical calendar. It's the day set aside to remember and to honour All Saints. They were, and still are, the heroes of the Church. Those who lived by the teachings of Christ, many of whom were prepared to give their very lives for him. They are the saints of the Church, who, over the last 2,000 years or so, offer an example to Christians of the virtuous way to the Lord's heart and to the kingdom of heaven. To reflect on this special day, my friend and colleague Tracy McClure sat down with Father Bernard O'Connor, an official with the Pontifical Congregation for Eastern Churches.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here with us today
with your wonderful
smile and happy personality. Listen, October 31st, we have to start
Yes.
Halloween, the night of ghosts, goblins, and witches. And November 1st, though, is the feast for the heroes of the Church, the saints who represent all that is good and virtuous. Quite a contrast, don't you think?
Rather so. But you know, there's a wonderful point that's being illustrated here. Halloween literally means All Hallowed Evening. It's a sacred evening in preparation for the observance of All Saints. And on November 2nd, we have All Souls Day, and these must be taken together. But there's a theory in spirituality that is wonderfully appropriate, that when goodness is highlighted and emphasized in Christian life, evil cannot remain content. That evil will rise to the cause of trying to distort and devastate the holy. And in my honest estimation, the New Testament church and thereafter were very, very conscious of the evil one and of temptation and devastation attempts at the good. So Halloween, in a certain sense, reflects that. If you are going to celebrate saints November 1st, be assured that that will be taken up as a challenge to you from forces that are motivated for causes other than the holy.
But are we giving our kids mixed messages with these fun, partying Halloween nights?
Again, look historically. Historically, throughout the early history of the Church, especially in the Middle Ages, it was connected to a spiritual reality. The mistake we've made and the double messages we send are separating ordinary, quote, secular life and the life in relationship to God. We've made the disconnect in our culture and society. And so naturally the young people are only going to see it as a festival of good time to kind of joke around, kid, and celebrate in whatever way they choose. It's just like Christmas. We've confused St. Nicholas with a Santa Claus. We have confused the Nativity of Christ with a winter solstice. And so consequently, by divorcing the holy from our ordinary reality, we've completely abdicated all presence for it.
If November 1st, the Feast of All Saints, if it doesn't fall on a Sunday, it's quite likely that people are not going to even realize that it's occurring. Isn't that a very sad reality today?
Oh, it's a tragic reality. When the Holy Father speaks about the issue of secularism and of relativism and these types of terms that he uses so frequently, what he's really saying is we are more and more living in a society which is not only heedless of the holy, but is becoming contemptful of the holy. And this, I think, is a serious tragedy. We can't expect ordinary Catholics to be mindful of the significance of All Saints and then All Souls, when the poor souls can hardly have enough religious knowledge to make the sign of the cross.
How important is it for us to remember and honor the saints? I mean, if you pick up any book on the saints, you'll see it's full of hundreds and hundreds of names, and literally going back 2,000 years.
Absolutely, absolutely. But let's think of it in terms of your family history. You were just telling me a little while ago where your husband works and where your sister-in-law lives. And these are special relationships in your heart and in your history, as they are in mine and every listener. This is part of our family, and to say that the roots, the origins of significant people in our family history with relationship to us have lost their significance is pitiful, because we're created for relationship. So what these feasts are telling us is that the ongoing relationship with those who preceded us are every bit as intimate to our well-being as are our personal and family relationships, for they are our spiritual family. Great significance.
Whereas we cannot remember our dear departed, let's say, you know, a mother or father, grandparents or friends who've died, we can't really pray to them. We certainly can look to the saints for help in our daily lives, can't we?
Very much. I like to tell people that the emphasis isn't so much on praying to as praying with. That in a sense of church as communion, those who we ask to pray for us, to pray with us, accompany us in our own spiritual journey. We see this illustrated wonderfully in the Angelus message for 2008, given by Pope Benedict, in which he reflects upon this continuity of relationship, of role models, of heroes, of persons whom we can look to and say, that's part of my tradition, this is part of my heritage, this is real and tangible. If I may, I'd like to just say that when we look at the lives of the saints, as you're talking about, to give them something of a quality of life, I like to use four terms. That the role of the saints with relationship to us represent incarnation. They make real our faith. They represent imitation, role models of faith. They represent inspiration, giving credibility and enhanced lovability, if you will, of the role models of the church. And then intercession. They respond to our prayer. They reach out to us, just as on All Souls Day, we will reach out on behalf of those whose journey continues toward a fulfillment of sanctity.
We can't, of course, finish this program without mentioning some of the great saints of the church.
There are so many. And people, I think, should certainly remember figures, you know, throughout history, like Joan of Arc, St. Lawrence, the martyr, and so forth. But there are also recently canonized saints or persons proposed for sainthood, which can be a wonderful reminder of the problems that we face that they have also faced. I'm thinking of the canonized Saint Mother Alphonsa, the first saint to be canonized for India, a woman who knew intense physical and mental suffering, who spent most of her 36 years on a sickbed. Well, how many people can identify with that kind of tribulation? Many. I'm thinking of a lady who knew servitude and persecution. Abuse of women? Very common. St. Josephine Bakita, born in Darfur in Sudan in 1869, but who literally learned when she discovered the gift of faith in Christ that she could go back to her captors and go back to the people who caused her enormous physical anguish and say, I have a gift for you. Now, there's an example of faith. Lorenzo Garrido, who died only in 1971 from Spain, and who was a journalist afflicted with various paralysis, with blindness. And despite the incredible intensity of his inflictions, every time one aspect of him was taken away, his use of his right arm, then he learned to write with the left. Then he lost both arms, so then he learned to dictate to a secretary. There was an ability to be creative and determined despite whatever hardship. And that is a wonderful message in our society where we often feel so depressed and so overwhelmed. There is hope.
And a very warm thanks there to Father Bernard O'Connor, an official with the Pontifical Congregation for Eastern Churches.
And thanks, of course, to Tracy McClure as well.